right. It does. Amen. Exodus chapter 10. You're probably noticing a common theme here that these are all sermons from Exodus because in my Bible study and in my own devotions, I was in the book of Exodus. So was it three or four that I put online? I think it was four. Those four mini sermons that I put online that I preached to my family, boy, you thought you guys, they had it easy. They were only 25 minutes long. So Andrew preached longer than me last week. I only went 25 minutes to each one, but I did four of those on Wednesday and Sunday that I was gone and preached those to my family, and those are all from the book of Exodus. So I titled those Little Lessons from Exodus. I changed that title. So anyway, I might add these to that series there. We'll just add them to that. But anyway, this is just things the Lord gave me during the devotions that I was doing, and I think that they will help you. Now, I want to talk to you about how the Antichrist is after your children. These are good reminders. And we ought to always be diligent. We ought to be vigilant in everything that we do. And we ought to understand that we have a real enemy out there. Like, our enemy is not pretend. We have a real enemy. Satan wants to devour the holy seed. He wants to devour the children that come from us. He wants to destroy them. Now, see, here's what I believe, okay? When I look at our church and I look at the children, I see, you know, I see there's maybe 10, 12 men here, right? Representative of families and everything else. But I see the numbers of the children, okay? I see the numbers of the children, and there's a great number of them. You know, they outnumber us. We're just bigger than they are, most of them. But anyway, except Luke. But he's a man now, so he grew out of that. And Pete's getting bigger, too, and I'm glad I don't pay for their groceries. But anyway, that's why I have a lot of girls. But anyway, but as we look at them, I know that it's what the future holds, what God has for our children. And I also know that Satan is going to do whatever he can to fight that. And he is. And the Antichrist, he's after our children, that spirit of Antichrist. That's Satan. That's who it is. Okay, that's the god of this world. And we always need to be reminded of that. Our children, our wives, as husbands, as men, as a church, we have to be reminded that Satan is after our children. I'm just gonna be really blunt about it. He is from the littlest one that you're holding in your arms to the oldest one, he is after them. He wants to destroy them. You children must understand that Satan wants to destroy you. He hates everything your parents stand for, and he wants to destroy you. And the only thing that can protect you is the blood of Jesus Christ. You must be born again, right? And after you're saved, the only thing that can protect you is following what the Lord has called you to follow, the truth. Now, does that mean one may not go wrong? No, that doesn't mean that. It could happen. There is not a child in this room, there is not a Christian in this room that is above backsliding. There is not one in this room that is above getting away from God and becoming a prodigal. It can happen so fast. And before you know it, you're taking a look back and you're thinking, how in the world did I get to this place? You know who did that? The prodigal. He looked back and looked up from the pig pen, right? He was in. And he looked up from it and he knew that he was in trouble. Amen. But I preached a series on that. And if you remember, I told you, I preached, the first message I preached was on the prodigal son was steps that led him far from home. There are steps in your heart that lead you far from home, far from the house of God, far from the will of God, that I should say, which is the house of God, is part of the will of God. Amen. But anyway, that's, you have to understand, I want to warn you, is this to scare you? Somewhat. Sometimes we need a little bit of fear to get us to move, right? But it's also that you be prepared for it. That you understand that you're in a real battle and you have a real enemy. Because sometimes we forget that we have a real enemy. And we think, oh, it's just us, it's just me, it's just what I'm going through at the time. We don't understand that Satan is still out there working as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And I want to show you Pharaoh here is a picture of that Antichrist. He is a picture. He's a type of Antichrist. And he is there, and he actively wants to destroy. Exodus chapter 10, verse number 7, and Pharaoh's servant said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you. So what was Pharaoh saying? He was saying, you can go, but don't take your little ones with you, because they're going to be in danger. I'm going to show you the manipulating work of the Antichrist spirit there, because that's exactly where what it is right there. Verse 11, not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, please guide us and direct us as we look through the scriptures. Help us to be ever so vigilant and diligent to put a watch on our families, on our homes, on our children, on our own souls, Lord, not to be swayed or taken, but to protect our children, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Old Testament scriptures, they were written for our admonition, right? There are many pictures. They are written for our learning, and we're to take those Old Testament examples and we're to apply them to our everyday lives. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 through, I think it is 10, illustrates that. Talks about that. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now, I'm a firm believer that the Jews were the Old Testament church. Does that make sense to you? I want you to understand something. I don't mean this. We are a New Testament church. They were an Old Testament church. They were different than us, right? They're not the same as we are. We're not the same as they are. We're different. We have different ordinances, right? We have different things, but they were an Old Testament dispensation, if you will, an Old Testament church. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. That's the way it was. They had a congregation. That's what's being illustrated right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look what it says here. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Right? That was what? The law. We have grace. Thank God. Amen. And did all eat the same spiritual meat? And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So the pictures there in the Old Testament are pictures of what we have in New Testament revelation. Right? They're pictures and types. We no longer live in those types and shadows. We have the substance, which is Christ. Amen. Thank God. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. It's not much different today, is it? Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. God hates murmuring. He hates it. He hated it back then, and he still hates it now. Amen. God hates us to be complaining instead of praising. Right? Now, all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. In comes, those are the typology. That's the example that we have of that typology that is there. It's the example that we have. Now, so I want to teach you a little bit about typology here, and then we'll get into the message here. So number one, Pharaoh is a type of the Antichrist. He is a picture. He is a figure of a coming Antichrist. The example first is Pharaoh, right? Learning to see types in the Old Testament is a wonderful way to draw great truths in the Bible. and to apply them to your life. So how is Pharaoh a type of the Antichrist? Pharaoh was the ruler of the known world. He ruled Egypt, and Egypt, which will be briefly talked about, ruled the entire world at that time. Pharaoh was a ruler over the beast system. And you're going to hear me talk about the beast system today, because I believe the Antichrist and the beast system work together hand in hand. Now, the Antichrist will eventually take over a one-world government and will rule it. The spirit of it is now there in every government. Listen, the spirit is now in every government of this world, including this nation. Right? It's the same spirit. Now, I don't make a lot of friends when I say that, because a lot of people don't like that. But you just can't argue with the facts. Right? And we're either going to be honest or we ain't going to do nothing at all. That's the way it ought to be. Right? We're either honest about it or we pledge our allegiance to something other than God. I know. Gotta be. Otherwise, I'd go get an honest job delivering pizzas. Or maybe Uber. I bet. Pharaoh's real and true God was Satan. Well, how do I know that? Well, the scriptures tell us that Pharaoh had magicians and wizards that perform magic enchantments, right? Did you know the word enchantment is 13 times in the King James Bible? 13 times. Exodus 7:11 says, "Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers." Now, the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. Now, I've had people try to explain that away and say, well, they just tricked people. They didn't really turn that rod into a serpent. No. The Bible says they did it in the like manner as he did it. They did do it. I'm not going to explain away the Bible. I'm not going to explain away satanic power. It's there. Thank God we're not ruled by any of it. That are saved by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. That's right. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. Verse 22 of the same chapter, "And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said." And then Exodus 8:7. "And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt." Verse number 18 of Exodus chapter 8, "And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said." So we see that witchcraft comes from Satan, right? And the religion of Pharaoh was witchcraft. He served Satan. That's who he served. These people today that follow that same spirit of Antichrist serve Satan. Brother Beller, who died about, I want to say 5 or 6 years ago. I can't remember now. It's been a while. But he used to often say that he believed the end times religion would be Luciferianism. He said it over and over again. He said the end times religion will be Luciferianism. All at the top, they're all Luciferians. That's what they are. Look at the lodge. What are they? Luciferians. What did he say about who was the god of the lodge? Lucifer. Was it Pike that said that? Right? The UN, people like that said they're waiting for a one world leader, be he God or be he man, they care not. So this is Luciferianism. This is what they practiced. But I want you to notice one other tidbit of information here. The importance of reading your Bible all the way through, because you have to come all the way to the New Testament to find out who these magicians were. Because it's not said anywhere else. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 7. "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Janes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." Who were Janes and Jambres? They were the magicians. They were the ones that withstood Moses. They were the ones that practiced witchcraft. That's why it's important to read your Bible all the way through, to know it from Genesis to Revelation. You don't have to do it every time, but you ought to have a familiar understanding of Genesis to Revelation. The flow of what God is teaching, which the theme of that is Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, Christ. He is the theme. Amen. He is the theme all the way from Genesis chapter 1, all the way to Revelation to the end. That's right. He is the theme. That Jesus Christ be praised. Amen. So Pharaoh is a type of the Antichrist. This picture is important as it will relate to our children. Because I want to show you what's going on here in Egypt this time is the same thing that's going on today. It's not any different. It's the same thing. Number two, Egypt is a type of the world and the government. You see the two pictures there. God calls his people out of the world. He calls them into his marvelous light of the gospel. Just as he called his people Israel out of Egypt, he calls his New Testament church, his people out of Egypt, to become his local New Testament church, right? His people called out, saved, baptized, a called out assembly. That's who we are. Called out from the world. We're to be different than the world because we are made different. Do you understand that? Is saved people, they are made different. They are not the same. They are regenerated. They are made new. They are born again by the Spirit of God. And they are to form into that local New Testament church, right? They're to be outside of the world. It's a called out assembly of baptized believers separated of the gospel of Jesus Christ, saved by the blood of the Lamb. So Egypt is the world. It's this world system ran by Antichrist. Pharaoh is a picture of the Antichrist and the god of this world. The Bible says, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I like that. See, there's another deity verse there. Right? Look at that. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God? Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he's before all things, and by him all things consist. Sums it up, doesn't it? Quite nicely. That's why we're told not to love this world, by the way, because we've been called out of it. 1 John 2:14, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Then he goes on to say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Look what he says in 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, he links all that together as he's talking about the Antichrist. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You're going to have a lot of people that are coming in and out of the church, in and out of that assembly. And some of them you'll never see again. And some of them will turn their back on God forever because they are not really his. And that has to be manifested. I believe absolutely wholeheartedly that God puts in a preservation. He breathes endurance into his people. And the only reason why you and I make it through this life is because of what he gives us. His Spirit. We are not perfect people. Right? We are not. But God revives his saints. He strengthens them. He leads them. He gives them power to get through. He continues to. Those are his children, the ones that are saved. Those are the first three ground that walk away, give up, don't want anything to do with God. They're Antichrist. And they end up being that. But you and I don't know who those are. We don't know. We don't know who's going to come back. We don't know who's going to get right. And I don't mean just here in this church. I mean come back to God. They can do it somewhere else. They don't have to do it here. Amen? I'm talking about coming back to the Lord and getting right with God. But some of them will never go back. Some of them will never go back. And that's sad. But there are those first three grounds, and they're there. And the only one that bears fruit is that fourth. It bears fruit. The first three are the same. The fourth one is different. There's a pattern there in the scriptures, right? That God shows. But he talks about these. But isn't it amazing that he talks about the world and that the Antichrist is right here in the mix of it? A warning to us that the world is Antichrist. Remember that sermon I preached a long time ago, the world hates Christ? Well, it still does. Hates him even worse now. You know, I have purposed it in my heart that if I ever run into these Black Lives Matter people, and I'm at a these guys went into a restaurant the other day. I sent a video to you guys to watch it. And they went into it, and they walked in there, and they were trying to force people to raise their fists, right? And to salute Black Lives Matter and all this other stuff and to do that. And I told, you know, what feeling I started to first have was quickly suppressed by the Lord, because I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stand up if they do that in the middle of that restaurant, Paul, and I'm going to lift up my preaching voice as loud as I can, and I'm going to preach the gospel to those stinking heathens is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to preach it so loud that they're all going to want to leave. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach it right in that restaurant in front of all of them, and they're all going to hear it. And I'm like, I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to give in to you, but you're going to bow to Jesus Christ someday. You're going to die and go to a devil's hell, and I'm going to preach the gospel to them. That's what I purpose to do. When I see those people on the street, wherever I'm at, I'm going to preach the gospel to them. I'm going to preach Jesus Christ to them. I don't need to fight them. They're in trouble, and I'm going to tell them, you're in trouble. You ought to be shaking in your boots right now because you're in trouble with the God of heaven right now. And he's going to destroy you one day. And he's going to throw you in a devil's hell. You better repent. That's what I'm going to say to them. That's what they need to hear. They need to hear that Jesus died for their rotten souls. Just like he died for mine. Amen. By the way, we're going out Friday preaching Friday night somewhere. So be ready. I don't know where we're going, but we're going Friday night. I don't care where we go. We can go down to Minneapolis. I don't care where we're going. We'll go anywhere we need to. Wherever we have to. God's God in Minneapolis just like he is right here. Amen. No matter. He's God no matter where we're at. If he wants us to do it, we'll do it. Amen. He'll take care of us. You believe that, don't you? I do. I'm living proof of it. I'm still here. Amen. That is the grace of God. That's right. Anyway, so he talks about I'll get to the children here, believe me. But you have to also liken Egypt to the government, which is a beast system. Because the government is a beast. By the way, if that wicked beast is not chained and controlled, Brother Beller used to say that. He said, you know what you have to do to government? It's a beast, and you have to starve the beast. You got to throw a chain around its neck. You got to halfway choke it to death and not feed it. It should be the skinniest thing you've ever seen in your life. Amen. That's what Brother Beller used to say about government. He said it's a beast and you chain the beast. Yeah, that's what the founders believed. That's where he got it from. That's what the founders believed. You chain that beast. You don't give it that much power. And you don't. But see, now what's happened? Government has broke the chain. Right? And it devours now. Right? Which brings us to the scriptures. Daniel chapter 7. Man, I did that twice. I gotta hang on. I gotta check. I put the wrong verses in there. Boy, those are good ones too, though. Let's see. Yeah, it is. Daniel chapter 7. Here we go. Thank God for that software. That's good stuff. Right? Daniel chapter 7, verse number 7. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong and exceedingly. And strong exceedingly, it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among the other another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns, and plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. What happened? The third three beasts were alike. What was the fourth beast? Different. Diverse of all other beasts, wasn't it? Right? I like verse 9, though. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from him before thousands. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. So we have the beast, the government, the beast. In verse number 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. Look what's going on here. Government is a beast. Government is a beast. And there were three beasts, right? But the fourth one, the one that's coming, that one world government led by Antichrist, is going to be the worst. Now, the spirit of it is already here with us. That spirit is already working. Yes, that's what they do. Yep. Yep. That's the force of it. That's where its strength is. That's the horn. That's where its strength is. I'm going to check with him. The fourth beast. All right. This is different. Now, let's liken it to today. If Egypt is a picture of the world and its governments, and we know it's a beast, then how is the Antichrist after our children? How is it? The same way that he always has been since Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother Abel. Satan is that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So I would say, first of all, he's after the future, your children, the future seed. We notice that Pharaoh went after the Israelites' babies first, didn't he? In the days of Moses, his name means drawn out of the water, Pharaoh wanted to kill all the baby boys. You know, there is an absolute hate today for the American male, the young man. You see it everywhere. They say, yeah, definitely the Christian male, but the young man today in America is the most, I would say, abused out of all. They're told that if they're white, they really are getting that way. They're told there's something wrong with them if they were born that way, right? If they're born white, male, young man, have an identity, want to be a man and don't want to wear skinny jeans and act like some little queer running around, actually know that God made them a man, right? What are they? They're hated. They're absolutely hated today, right? You look it up. I did a study, a broadcast, I don't know, like 6 months ago about young men and how they're treated and how they're the rage. They're the ones that are raging right now. And they said why. They said, you tried to make them girls. Psychologists even said this. You tried to make them act like girls in the classroom. You tried harbor them up in a room all day and treat and make them act like they're girls and make them sit there like that all the time and not treat them like they're young men, but treat them like there's something wrong with them. Right. Right. So now, I mean, which I think the Boy Scouts, created by some wicked Mason anyway, right. But you have the Boy Scouts now that they're no longer, you're not allowed to be the Boy Scouts. So girls are allowed in the Boy Scouts. I was there we were at a park on vacation and we were looking over and I seen these Boy Scouts and these girls with them. And I'm like, this is female instructors and everything else. Right. And queers. Yeah. 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 So they're not allowed to be boys anymore. What is that? That's an Antichrist spirit. That's what it is. It's there's this hate. There's this hate for them. No. This lady at one of the coffee shops here was telling me, this was about 6 months ago or so, she goes, oh, my daughters are the first to join the Boy Scouts. I'm like, does anybody think that's stupid? Why didn't your daughter go join the Girl Scouts if she was going to join one? I wouldn't join either one of them. They're a bunch of perverts. But anyway, I teach your own kids, right? Children, take them out and do things with them, right? I wouldn't try. Like, I'm going to take my kids and give them to total strangers. Yeah, go spend the night with these total strangers. I don't know. I guess even before I was saved, I was like, that's dumb. But after I got saved, I thought it was really, well, I guess maybe before I was saved, I didn't. I was young. But after I got saved and I heard this, and I was like, wait, you mean, after I became a father and started studying the Bible, I was like, wait, you mean like you just like give your kids over to somebody else and just let them watch? You don't even know who they are? And you just let them take them? No way. That's insane to me. I know we sound like the nuts now, though, don't we? You know, God thwarted some of Pharaoh's plans along the way, but today we have a government that sanctions the murder of babies. If they can't kill them, they will stick multiple numbers of vaccines in them to soft kill them or maim them for life. And no, this message is not approved by the FDA or the CDC or any other anti-Christ organization. It's an absolute opposition to most of what they say. And on the record, fine with that. Because they hate God. They have a bloodthirst to kill babies. You really have a... Okay, all right, I'm about to get real now. So you hired the National Guard to protect statues. Right? And I get it, okay? I get it. I don't want people tearing statues down just because I think it's stupid, number one. And it's a bunch of mob rule. If you want something to be removed, then you vote it through, just like other people have. And that's how it's done. That's a decent and an order way to do it. But let's just talk about this for a second. So you have the whole country. You're Donald Trump, and you're the savior of the Republican Party. And they halfway think you're God, okay? And what? I know. Hey, it's 2020, and I'm back. All right? So here we go. But right? I know it's going to make some... This always makes the Trumpsters mad when they hear it. Right? But they've been trumped, right? Because the National Guard comes out and they're going to protect statues. Meanwhile, you're letting 60 million babies that have been murdered continue to be murdered on a yearly basis. What is it? To the tune of 4 million a year? Is that what it is in America? 4,400 a day. But you'll protect a statue. Do you see how bad we are? How really... That is Antichrist. That is a beast system. And then they come to find out that in these recent loans that were given to businesses, Planned Parenthood got bailed out. $80 million. Remember all that money that Trump said he pulled the funding from? Well, there you go. Trump! Right? I know. It's a bloodthirst to kill babies. That's what the beast Antichrist system does. They know nothing of the preservation of life, but death. And Satan loves and thrives off death and destruction. Then I would say it's the Planned Parenthood mentality, right? Well, see, maybe Satan couldn't get you to abort a baby, but that Antichrist spirit could talk you into preventing pregnancy and not having a child, to take birth control, to be Antichrist and play God, or to dictate to God how he will bless you with children. Think about that. Right? So our government, our beast government, now I think they stopped doing this, or supposedly, but who knows? We're not there. We don't know. But don't we understand that our beast government right now, what they do is they pay for contraceptives. They pay for, but they also paid for abortions when Obama was in office for 8 years. We paid other governments money to kill their own children. Turn to Psalm 127, please. Verse number 3, Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And what has Satan done? So the Antichrist would not have any enemies to meet him at the gate. So what has his devilish plan been? To get them to prevent children from coming into the world. So he has not a, so he doesn't have an army to fight, right? It's a diabolical plan. By the way, many pastors don't preach against and warn others of birth control and other things. I'm serious. I heard the fundamental line. I was in the churches. Wait a couple years to have children. Only have a couple. I mean, they don't say only have a couple, but most of them only have a couple. Then the lady goes back into work, the workforce. They take the kids, or she goes to work at the Christian school. And, you know, it's not very easy to have a baby and work at the Christian school. So then that's all they do. Do you think it's an accident that in this church, well, no, you don't, because you know, but anyway, right? Right? No, yeah, it wasn't, right? Okay, but our church is full of children, right? But now go to a number of other churches, and what do they really starve for? Children and youth. A lot of them don't have any. A lot of the mothers, they don't have that many babies. But see, when you go back to preaching what the Bible says to mothers being keepers at home, to fathers being providers, and you put the roles there, guess what happens? More babies come. That's what happens. That's the natural flow. That's what happens. But that's hated today. That's hated. It's hated. When you go into a store, whatever, like we were out west and we were just going on a vacation, and when we get out, there's 8 of us and then grandma and grandpa, right? And they're all the kids are all the children we're all coming out, right? And they're all looking at us like, right? Right, right, exactly. Exactly. But they look at you like, what? Like, wow. Yeah, and all the girls are wearing dresses, and they're just like, and some of those women go, aren't they so cute? Yeah. I mean, they just don't know. They don't know what to think, right? They see these big families, and they're just like, we seen it everywhere, didn't we? Everywhere we were at. That was their response. And then people would tell grandpa at work, they'd be like, you mean you're going to go on vacation with 6 of your grandchildren? They were like, that doesn't sound like a vacation. Right, grandpa? They hate children, but what is it? It's Antichrist. That's what it is. Number 2, Antichrist wants you to leave your children behind. You know, Pharaoh wanted Moses to go and serve the Lord, but you leave your little ones behind. He said unto them, let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it, for evil's before you. Not so, go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. You know, if you're not careful, you'll leave your little ones and your wife behind in your spiritual walk with the Lord. You better be careful about that. You got to bring your whole family along with you. You got to grow them in their most holy faith as well. And you've got to bring your wife and you've got to bring your children along with you. You don't leave them behind, but you nurture them in the spiritual way that they need nurturing all the way through their lives. It's very dangerous because I'll tell you what, you could be a father that's preaching the Bible and you know, and talking about the Bible and reading and studying. But if you leave your wife and your children behind and you don't teach them, you don't nurture them, and you don't raise them up and grow them in their most holy faith, the Antichrist is coming for them. It's important. The life of a husband is a life of service and a life of teaching our children, protecting them, and keeping them from evil. We must never think that we will excel spiritually if we don't protect our children. We are commanded to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We are commanded to teach them what they should know and to prepare them to live for God in this Antichrist world. And there's no way to sugarcoat it. This world is wicked as hell. It just plain is. And there are booby traps and they are everywhere. They are everywhere to try to sink your family. You know, we were on vacation. I'll give you a perfect example. I told my children, I like to try to, once when I'm on vacation like that, I try to find a place where they can go ride some go-karts, right? And do some stuff like that for a little while. Just have some fun, you know, and everything else. We went to two places. We walked in there and the music was blasting so loud and it was wicked music. And I said, children, we're leaving. We're not staying here. We're leaving. And, you know, they were sad about it and everything else. And I said, look, and I sat them down. And I explained to them in the car. I explained to them, listen, we can't do that. That's not separation. God, there's a cost for separation. And God tells us that we're to separate from those things. You know, nothing's going to be perfect out there. I understand. But I ain't going to sit there and listen to that blasting, wicked, devilish, satanic music. Right there when that's, I'm not going to do that for some entertainment. I said, if I teach you that it's okay for you to do that just to be entertained, I'm teaching you wrong. And I can't do that. We're going to go. And we went there. Then we went, then we went to another place. Same thing. I didn't even let them go in. I went in first and looked around and it was still blasting. I was like, I'm gone. So we went and found a public park somewhere and where they had something and they played at the park. You know why? Because we believe this book and we've got to follow it. And I want them to know how seriously I do take it. Amen. And not just when I'm home, but when I'm abroad too. Amen. We're commanded to teach them what they should know and to prepare them to live for God in this Antichrist world. Look, the Antichrist, he wants to defile your children, destroy them. He wants you to leave them unprotected. He wants you not to warn them of the strange woman and how to stay away from sin, or you might fall in. The Antichrist would have you not equip them. Satan would have you not to warn them of the danger of fornication. And by the way, I mean speaking real to them. You know, these pastors, I get a kick out of some of these pastors. They're so perfect and say so many perfect things right in the pulpit, and they don't do anything else. But they never get raw and straight with people. But then you find out later that they're shacking up and fornicating and doing something wicked somewhere. But they wouldn't just sit down to that family or that church and tell them the truth about bloody abortion, about wicked fornication, about defiling yourself with this world. They won't preach to them straight. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you get out away from God, you're going to fall into sin and you're going to die and go to hell. And that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to ruin and destroy your life and your mind and everything else. And those friends that you think you have out there, they're not your friends. The people that believe this book, that follow it, that live it every day, they are your true friends. And you better remember that, because all that's out there is a bunch of deception and wickedness. That's what it is. And that's what the Antichrist wants to do. Look, I'm not going to sugarcoat sin for you. I'm not going to cover it up, make it sound pretty for you. I don't want it to be attractive to you. I want you to hate it. I want you to hate it as much as God hates it. Amen. That it's defiling and it's dirty and it's wicked out there. We need to warn them about that. Warn them about the strange woman, how to stay away from her. Warn them about the wicked man or the angry man or the subtlety of Satan and the traps that are there. You sit down and have straightforward conversations about it. And the preaching ought to be straightforward about it. It ought not be sugar-coated, but it ought to be straightforward about it. The Antichrist, he wants you to leave him unguarded, unprotected, not watched over, not prayed over, but to be the prey of the devil. You got to say the hard things to your children in love. You got to warn them. You got to set the standard high in your own life and expect much out of your children. You ought to expect them to read their Bibles. You ought to expect them to pray. You ought to expect them to walk with God, and you ought to check up on them. Expect them to honor and fear God. Expect them to honor and fear the Lord and their parents, and to honor their parents. You ought to expect them to. Expect them to be obedient in all things. That Antichrist spirit, it would have you leave them behind to be a target or a mark for Satan. The Antichrist spirit, this beast system, wants to defile, wants to destroy. See, Satan knows that the children are the future. He knows it. So then he wants to defile and destroy their life. Listen, young lady, young man, he wants to destroy your life so you don't walk with God, so you don't fear God and give him glory. There's nothing that would make Satan happier than to see one of our children fall, one of our children leave the faith, one of our children to get into sin and destroy their life and their testimony and everything. There's nothing better that Satan would love to have. And you ought to love God enough that you don't want to see that happen. Amen. It's one of the most wicked movements out there today. Here's another one, that Antichrist spirit pushing the LGBTQ. This month in June, we're almost over, thank God. But you know what? This is a month that they push. You know, I was telling some of the guys, I think I got an email from some kids' clothing store. My wife bought some clothes for the girls at, just the little ones. And they sent me an email, an advertisement. And the advertisement in it, you know what I had in it? LGBTQ stuff, showed little kids sitting on sod's laps holding these little kids, these little children that are innocent little children. That, by the way, I pointed out to my children, those two dudes didn't have that baby. You lying devils. You didn't have that baby. Somebody needs to tell those delusional satanic people that. You didn't have that baby. That ain't yours. You didn't have that. It takes a man and a woman to have that baby. So who'd you steal yours from? Yeah, the state stole it for him. That's right. That's the beast system. Right? Christianity, that's a dangerous thing, the beast says. That's a danger. We'll get to that. Hold on. I'll hold that off for a second. But anyway, in that kid's clothing, they're pushing LGBTQ. What's like little two-year-old clothes have to do with you indoctrinating people with LGBTQ stuff? Right? Yeah. What is it? It's fornication and witchcraft, the two end-time sins. Fornication, sorcery, two end-time sins. That's what it is. That's what they want to push. Right? What is it? It's a bunch of confusion. But see, if you teach your children straight, biblical, biological teachings, it's not hard to combat that, is it? But the Antichrist would have you just don't pay attention to that. That's no big deal. Oh, no, it is a big deal. See, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. So we teach our children that. This is a boy. This is a girl. That's the way it works, and there's only two choices. That's how it works. Now, whatever's in their delusional head, because they have devils inside their brain and inside their heart, and because they're taking lots of funny pills, they believe they can be something else. Children understand there's only two genders, and scientists know that too. So do doctors. They know that too. You probably never thought a preacher would ever preach about something like that 20 years ago, would you? Never thought it would be necessary, but it is necessary. It is necessary. Right? It's confusion. That's what it's about. It's that Antichrist, that spirit of confusion. make them question everything they've been taught by the Bible. And public school is nothing more than indoctrination centers for Antichrist. It is a beast system. Revelation 18:2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. What is public education? It is the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Amen. That's public education for you. That's what it is. It is Antichrist to the core. They get paid to teach the beast religion to children. And they get paid very well. And they get paid not to allow the creation truth to be in their classrooms. What's that? Exactly. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Amen. Yep. Because what can you do really with a Christian? What can you do with a public school? I've heard people say, well, we need Christians everywhere. Well, not if they have to teach something that's contrary to the scriptures. I wouldn't be there. Why would I? I'd go do something else. Especially in America, right? You have every opportunity. If you want to lose your kids quicker, just enroll them in a public school. It's Antichrist. It teaches them evolution, the foul spirit. It teaches them abortion, LGBTQ acceptance, to mock the Bible, to believe they came from monkeys, teaching sex education and every other wicked, abominable thing in that school. Right? Why? Because the Antichrist is after your children. You know, Pharaoh wanted Moses to leave the children behind, didn't he? Just leave them behind. You go serve the Lord. You leave your children here. Next, Antichrist uses manipulation with children. Look at verse number 10 of our text. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones. Look to it, for evil's before you. Isn't it funny that they have tried to make it look like biblical Christianity is bad for children? Isn't that what Pharaoh just said? Moses, your children serving God, you're putting them in danger, Moses. They're in danger. Wait a minute, there's slaves here in Egypt. Yeah, but you're going to put them in danger. Wait a minute, aren't you the same Pharaoh? Aren't you the same people that wanted to kill all the Jews? Aren't you those same people that wanted to do that? The same representative of the government that wanted to kill them all? Well, yeah, but that's besides the point. We won't go there, right? You're not allowed to think, Moses. Shut up. Right? You're not allowed to think, Moses. Oh, it's dangerous. It's too dangerous for your children to follow the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need inclusion. They need socialization. They can't be isolated. Yeah, I've seen the number of suicides among public school children not raised with loving, God-fearing people. Right? And by God's grace, I'd put the socialization of the children in this room up against any of theirs any day. Because they can actually look you in your eye and have a conversation with you. But you see, Satan is the master manipulator. He'll say, well, Christians teach hate, so that's dangerous for people. They should accept everyone. Well, why don't they accept biblical Christianity then? I've had him say that to us. They said, they walk away and say, well, you're going to hell. Wait, you just told me you didn't believe in hell. Yeah, but you're going there. That's what they said to me when I was out preaching before. You're going there, loser. Right? You've heard it before, haven't you? Right. Because these people don't even speak, they don't even believe what they're speaking, what they're saying. We hear today how it's bad for children to follow biblical Christianity, but to give them sex change drugs and hormones to remove body parts from them and turn them into some Baphomet freak is better than teaching them to repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ before they die and go to a devil's hell. You know how many of these kids are committing suicide because their parents are letting little five-year-old children can't even make the decision of what clothes to wear barely, or to get up in the morning and what time to do that and anything else. But they're deciding they want a sex change. Right. So we're going to give them these. So they give them these pills, and these kids are committing suicide by mass numbers. And then they're removing body parts of these children that later they grow up and they have a change of mind and they can never change it back. They've destroyed those children. But yet biblical Christianity is dangerous. Oh, and by the way, even though it was a false Christianity and it wasn't true, David Koresh and that compound over there, because they had a semblance of Christianity there, they went in there and firebombed them and destroyed them in Waco and burned the whole thing down and killed all those people inside there, right? That's what the beast system did to them. And I'm not condoning David Koresh because I think he was a master mason anyway. But the point is this. He was doing that there. They were doing that there at the time, and they did that, but they let him burn down a whole entire city over here and said they couldn't do anything to stop them. Well, you didn't have any problem firing on Christians and burning their compound down. Did they? Or people that pretended to be Christians, at least. They put it that way. Right? Why? Right. I'm not condoning David Koresh. I'm giving an example. Right? No, it isn't. These people have nothing to offer anybody but anti. That's what the beast. That's how the Antichrist is after them. They want it. It's better for them to be doped up, tattooed up, freaked out, and taught wicked lies. That's what they do. That's what this system does. That's what the Antichrist system is all about. And they say we are supposed to follow the beast Antichrist system, the same one that legislated the murder of over 60 million babies. By the way, Pharaoh was the one that wanted to kill them all. You see, if Satan can't kill them off, he'll defile them. And he wants you to allow this world system to turn them into followers of Antichrist. That's what he wants. That's his goal. There's so many ways that it's between the entertainment industry, trying to defile them. Everywhere you look down the road, the clothing industry, whatever it is, all of these. Let me tell you something. There is going to come a time very soon that all the clothes that you have for a lady are going to have to be made at home. Because everything else is going to be completely immodest. And they're going to do it on purpose, and that's what they're doing now. You know how hard it is to try to find the right pair of jeans for a young boy? That's not some skinny jean Fruit Loop stuff. It's unbelievable. Yeah, it's all slim fit. It's all designed for perversion. And it is. And they're doing it on purpose. And they are. And I go back to my biblical modesty series at where I covered that, where these clothing designers are straight up queers. That's what they are. They're all a bunch of straight up queers. And they're doing it on purpose. They do it on purpose. There's so many other ways that the Antichrist is trying to attract our children, that this beast system is. You are literally navigating on, you are pilgrims. We are pilgrims in this world. And we are navigating through, we are Christ's children navigating through an Antichrist world. Yeah, that's right. And we need to make sure that we understand who the real enemy is and what it is. And it's this world system that is ran by Antichrist. From the government system, from the medical mafia system, which is ran by Antichrist, by the way. To this lockdown system where you're just supposed to accept everything. You're just supposed to believe everything. I had one guy tell me, I'm walking through and I'm like, can somebody explain to me in Walmart why I have to go through one door because that door is not the Corona door and go out the other door because that's not that, that's the safe door. But if you had more than one door, it wouldn't be safe to go in and out. I don't get it. Is there some kind of errand? Is there some kind of secret teaching that's there that I don't understand? That one door makes it so that I won't get sick or other people won't get sick? Yeah, for the cattle drive. We're like on a cattle drive when you go through there. And then you got this guy at the door going, that's Aaron. Aaron's the guy at the door. Aaron's the guy at the door with the iPad going like this. Right? And I'm walking through this door, and I said something to the other guy. I said, yeah. And I just said it out in Walmart when I'm walking. This guy's sitting, standing there, and he's like, and I'm like, yeah, because this is going to keep me from getting sick, right? That's what this is going to do. Yeah. Then he goes, well, you'll find out if you'll think that way till you get sick. I said, you know what? I said, I just don't believe the scam. I don't believe it. And just like they're trying to scare people now that 40,000 more people had it. Well, that's a good thing, actually, because it proves that the death rate is a lot lower than what they said. So the more testing that's done and the more people that have it, it proves that the death rate is much lower. And they're a bunch of liars. And they're a bunch of Antichrist liars. No, it won't. Because when they're on delusion, when they're delusional, when you're already delusional and you've been given over to that strong delusion, it's the Christians that stand back and look at this and we're like, yeah, I don't buy any of this. Like, this is dumb. Most of this is just dumb. Right? Right. There are many more examples that you can see of what's coming. See, what this mask and no mask thing and stuff like that does, what it does is it starts to show who's going to comply and who's not. Yep, that's right. 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 That's what it proves. Now, I'm not saying if you have, I have to use them too if I go into some place that like Menards because I got all my money right now. So I have to. But I don't go out of my way to use any of it ever. But if I have to, I'll do what I have to do for now. But yeah, sure. As soon as they're done giving me my money, I'm going to go in that store and I'm going to rip off the mask. I'm going to be like, yeah. Yeah. And do, yeah. Yep. That's okay. I'll run faster. You know, there are so many more other examples of that, but we need to guard our children. We need to watch. But what's the solution? God provides it in our text. I want you to turn back to the text that we're in verse number 1. God warned Moses. I like what he says here to Moses, and this is a perfect example for us to fight that Antichrist spirit for our children. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son. All right, you ready? God says, you know what? I let the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing. Right? I let them do that. Because he's going to get the glory for it. But notice what he says our responsibility is. That I might show these my signs, he said, before him. And he said, and that thou, he said, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. I'm going to give him over to his own wicked self. I'm going to harden his heart, give him over to his own wicked self. But here's what I want you to do, Moses. See, it's not you and I. We don't get to choose who the reprobates are. All right? That's not our duty. We're not there to point fingers and say this. No, we're to understand what's going on in this world. But here's what we're to do. And that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son. Tell your children. And of thy son's son. That's grandpa's duty. See that? Grandpa's and grandma's have a responsibility. What things I have wrought in Egypt. God says you're supposed to tell them of the miracles of God. And my signs which I have done among them. That's what, like, testimonies of God's goodness. Testimonies of God's taking care of us, of God feeding us, of God providing for us, of God meeting all of our needs, and of God saving sinners and saving people in the assembly and all of that. We're to testify of that to our children. Why? That you may know how that I am the Lord. That's how. I believe God was warning Moses and showing him that Egypt wanted his sons, that Egypt has always been after the Lord's sons and daughters. You need to tell in the ears of thy sons and thy sons' sons what things God has wrought. You need to tell them the truth of the gospel. Tell them what Jesus has done for them and what he has done for you in your life. We have to rehearse to our children our testimonies and the power of God to pull us out of this world and to make us children of the Most High. They have to hear us praise the Lord. They have to hear us tell of God's deliverance and see us put God first in our lives and see that we will not bow to that Antichrist spirit, that we will not give in to this Antichrist beast system, but we will follow the Lord. We have to tell them of the goodness of God in the land of the living. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4. Good lesson for us right here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them what way? Diligently. That means on purpose, you know. That's what that means. It means with purpose. Right? And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. What is the conversation when thou sittest in thine house? Is your conversation ever the Lord? Is your conversation ever the goodness of God? Is your young children, what is your conversation? Is there always play? Now, there's nothing wrong with having fun. There's nothing wrong with you having some play. You ought to have that. I absolutely believe that. That children need to have leisure time. They need to have time for those things. It's important to give them that time. I believe that. However, let me ask you, what is your speech like? What is your talk of? And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You having a problem with your mind and your mind staying focused and things like that? Well, here's the answer right here. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, that thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. Okay, so talking about the Lord when you sit in your house. And when you walk by the way, talk about the Lord. And when thou liest down, talk about the Lord. And when thou risest up, talk about the Lord. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. I like that when you pull up to Brother Paul's house, there's some signs out there. Amen. At the gates there, there's some signs there. Amen. I need to get some of those. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, right? And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. God commands us to do this because Antichrist is always after your children. You know what? Israel forgot to do this. And if you forget to do this, the same thing is going to happen. Turn to Judges chapter 2, verse number 10. I've preached this sermon. I've preached on this verse a couple times in years past. A generation that knew not the Lord, I called it. You remember that one, Dave? That's an old one in the archives. Judges chapter 2, verse number 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. What happened? They didn't rehearse it. It says they knew it not. How? Because they didn't tell them. They didn't continue. You know what's the most dangerous time you're in your life is prosperity. Listen to me. I'm going to warn you. You might be doing great in your job. You might be doing great in your career. You might be doing great in money and finances. You might be doing great at the time of your life, and health might be wonderful and all these other things. Well, that's the most dangerous time in your life is prosperity. God, when you are little in your own eyes, it's when you need the Lord and you're marvelously helped by God. But when you get too big and you get too successful and things are going too good and money's too good and you have all your needs met, you're making and all this stuff is happening, then guess what? You'll do the same thing Israel did. Men fall more in prosperity than they do in affliction. If Christ is not taught, they will turn to Antichrist. And that is just the way that it is and always will be until Jesus comes back. They didn't know the Lord because they didn't rehearse it. It says diligently, with steady application, with much care, with industry, not carelessly, not negligently. It means on purpose, with love and zeal in your heart for the Lord, with an earnest and fervent prayer. And he gives us the remedy for it, to warn us, to teach them, to rehearse it in their ears. Satan will never stop attacking your children. And by the way, let me say this. If you have a child that has went wayward, don't give up. You keep praying for them. And you're going to look back and you're going to think of every mistake you ever made. And you're going to stab yourself 10 times over for every mistake you ever made. By the way, this is a good lesson for young parents right now, too, that your children aren't that age yet, but they very well could be, right? And you'll look back and you'll think about every mistake you ever made, and you'll condemn yourself, and you'll fret over that. Now, it's okay to have some of that self-examination. It's okay to look back at a few of those things, but not if it paralyzes you. That means you're looking too long. What you do with it is this. You do what Paul did, and you press forward, and you pray for them. And God will see your tears, and God will see your earnest and your fervent prayers for them. And you have to have faith, and you have to believe God that he'll restore such a one. And you have to believe that. And you have to put your faith in the Lord, and then you have to continue on and serve God and do your best to raise your children for the Lord. Amen. You and I have a duty to do, and it's to raise our children for the Lord no matter what. And it's to move forward in our Christian life no matter what we've been through in the past, no matter what mistakes we've been through the past. You have no right to sit there looking behind your shoulder. You have no right to do that. You've got to move on, and you've got to believe God and say, you know what? I may have made some mistakes along the way, and I've asked the Lord to forgive me for that, but all I can do is move forward. All I can do is trust the Lord. But you know what? You also have to understand one thing. Children, when they come to a place, they make their own decisions. And when mom and dad's not making the decision for them, that's their decision, and they're going to live with it. And though it breaks your heart, you never stop telling them the truth. You never stop sharing with them the truth. But you know what? You're going to have to let them make their own decisions. And you're going to have to trust the Lord and pray that God deals with them. And that goes for any of your family members that you deal with. Some of you have brothers and sisters and others that are not walking with the Lord right now. They're not doing right. You know they're not doing right. You need to pray for them. Never stop praying for them. Right? You don't know what God's going to do. I think of Ryan's family, what the Lord's done. Amen? That's God's work. God does that. Right? And God will do that same work in your family, in your life, and for others. But you got to trust him. And one of the main things that we have to remember when we listen to sermons like this, also when we deal with things like this in the text, we deal with that Antichrist spirit and that work that spirit that now working the children disobedience and the attack of Satan upon our families, everything else, is that it does us no good to dwell on the past. We've got to move forward and do our best with what we have now. See, a trap of Satan is to drown you in guilt and despair so you won't move forward, so you won't keep fighting because you'll be just so discouraged that you'll give up. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's not conviction. What that is that's despair. That's discouragement. That's not of the Lord. God wants us to acknowledge the mistakes we've made, the sins, get those things right. But after we're done, God wants us to move forward, and he wants us to deal with what we have right before our face, right before our eyes, the work that we have to do, and continue on for the Lord through everything. Right? You and I have made mistakes as Christians. We've sinned against the Lord. We've not been as faithful as we should be in different areas of our lives. But if we sit and we dwell upon that, we'll never go anywhere for God and we'll never do anything. We've got to move forward. That's what Paul said. He pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It does your Christian life no good for you to dwell on every time you've ever failed. If you focus that much energy on the future instead of on the past, you'd get something done. I like what David Icke has said to me. He thought about the past and different things, and he said, you know, it's not really logical for me to spend that much time on that. From a logical standpoint, and he's right, it isn't. It's not very logical, and David Icke is a very logical man. But it's a true statement. He's not one to dwell and sit there, his mind, the makeup that it is, he's not one to dwell on that past too long because it doesn't do him any good. And it doesn't do anybody any good because you can't change it. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote an excellent book, and he preached that series of sermons called Spiritual Depression. And in one of the chapters, he talked about the past. And he said that people that focus, by the way, it's a very good book. And I preached some of the messages. I used some of his stuff for that messages that I preached on that because they were very good. But he talks about how dwelling on the past, it makes no common sense at all. It's nonsensical. It won't do you any good. Spend forth that energy in the future. Put your time and your focus on lifting up Christ in your life, for your family, for the future. And pray for those. Pray for others. But move forward and continue. Don't let yourself get in despair. You have too much work to do. There's too much to do for the Lord for you to be drowned in the past. Satan wants to drown you with guilt, but Christ paid for that already. He bore all our sickness, all our pain, all our suffering, all our grief, all our guilt. All of that was placed on him. Don't hold on to it. Just let it go. Give it over to Jesus and move forward. And take all of that energy that you've wasted on the past in that sense and put it in prayers toward the future. Cry out your despair to the Lord and give it to him. Continue to give it to him. Don't stop crying out to God. Weep tears. Weep long and hard to God. And trust him. Believe him. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for a wonderful Sunday that you gave us, Lord, in the house of God. We don't deserve it, Lord. Christ is worthy, and we thank you for the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.